plane, and it has taught me how to stand and fight for what I believe in. I guess that's just how I was raised. I find it hard to walk away. I will not back down when you push me to the wall, expecting me.
With radio blasting and the bird dog on. Let me travel my head down the town, but no local yoga gonna shut me down. Me and my boy got the trigger wound, and we'll come a thousand miles from a guitar town.
If you're a country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on the Survival Circle Network.
Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kind of just hanging around. But I heard someone call my name one day, and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Jeep guitar.
Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio. Liberty Lounge. Every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern. Right here on Survival Circle.
Many years ago, Indian youth would go away in solitude to prepare for manhood. One such youth hiked into a beautiful valley. There he fasted, and on the third day decided to test himself against the mountain. When he reached the top, he could see forever, and his heart swelled with joy. Then he heard a rustle at his feet, and looking down, saw a snake. Before he could move, the snake spoke. "I am about to die. It is too cold for me up here, and I am freezing. There is no food, and I am starving. Put me under your shirt, and take me down to the valley." "Oh, no," said the youth. "I know your kind. You are a rattlesnake. If I pick you up, you will bite me, and I will die." "Not so," said the snake. "I will treat you differently. If you do this for me, you will be special. I will not harm you." The youth withstood for a while, but this was a very persuasive snake with beautiful markings. At last, the youth tucked it under his shirt and carried it down to the valley. There he laid it gently on the grass, when suddenly the snake coiled, rattled, and struck, biting him on the leg. "But you promised," cried the youth. "You knew what I was when you picked me up," said the snake as it slithered away. "You will always be warned when danger is near. The Lord cannot make your decisions for you, but but he will always allow you to be aware of what is right when a decision or action is about to be made. Don't allow yourself to ever believe that you are different, in that you can participate in unrighteous activities even just once and not be hurt. Remember, you knew what I was when you picked me up.
Welcome to the Shooting Bench. For the next hour, I'll be bringing you commentary and important updates on current events, as well as information on guns, training, preparedness, and other liberty-related issues. Let's get started. RAT, right now. All right, good evening. Time for the Shooting Bench, and it is the 24th of September, and we got some gun stuff to talk about tonight. Before I get started on it, I think I need to, let's see, volume all looks pretty good here. Let me go check and see in the chat room if we've got things going on there, and we're waiting. Testing 1, 2, okay, NM Glock, okay, everybody, we got 5x5. Tebow, 5x5. Hello, everybody. All right. We've got, by the way, I told you the other day that I had some more after-action stuff to talk about real briefly from the last class we did in Colorado. And one of the things that we have already talked about is the fact that we wondered about the, call it what you want, you know, the combat mindset, the warrior spirit, getting people to really believe that what they were doing was, beneficial and serious, you know, beneficial for them and their families and their loved ones and serious business, or whether it was just fun shooting. And, I was pretty convinced that a couple of them just had some fun and enjoyed it. And I told you about the one I had so much trouble with the trigger on and everything. But apparently a couple of them have been doing some thinking since the class. And, it has really, now the one younger guy, he was into it. He was ready to go. And the older guy had some training before, and I think he enjoyed it. I'm not too sure what he thought, but apparently AZ Bound has talked to him since the class, and he's been doing a little research and has, you know, come aware of some of the things that we were trying to do. And he said he's been he hadn't realized that the presentation, the way we do it, the tactical reload, the chamber check, and all that stuff is something that not everybody shows you out there. You know, your NRA instructors, most of them don't get into that. That's fine. NRA is a totally different thing, has nothing to do with the kind of stuff that we do. But he has, I guess, come around to those three things there, and it has got into his dry practice and everything, and he's doing pretty well. But, and I was very, you know, he said this was only the sixth time that he'd ever fired a handgun in his life, or a gun, period, in his life. And it was kind of, I didn't know that. I didn't know that he was so little experienced when he got there. But I told him, I said, I don't care how much experience you've had, just come on and we'll, this particular class. Now, I've got other classes, I won't allow people like that to participate. But I've got two other classes like that. But this one, I said, just bring it on. We'll make it work. And he did really well and came around very quickly. And by the time he left, you know, nobody knew that he had only shot six times prior to that. Of course, that time he shot nearly 1,000 rounds in 3 days, too. So he's doing pretty well now. But the other one that surprised me was one of the guys that I had so much trouble with the trigger finger. And he is actually wanting to do the class again and get his family in it. So at some point from the time that he walked off there that day until a couple of days ago, he has had an epiphany and he has come to the conclusion that this is a very good and important essential skill that he's learning. And he's all ready for me to come back. So we don't have anything carved in stone yet, but it looks like looks kind of like we're going to be going back up there again sometime early in the spring and doing this same class again for some of the same people. So I'm excited to do that because I love to get repeat return students in there because the first time, it's kind of like watching a movie or reading a book or doing anything else. The first time is fun and you learn something and you take away a lot of things, but it's just such an information overload the first time you do it that you come back the second and third times, then it starts all coming together. You know, some of those classes I took at Front Sight, you know, I took some of those, you know, 5, 6, 8 times. And just fine-tuning and honing skills during those additional times there. And it made a difference. And so I'm real excited about it. I know there'll be at least a couple, three people that have taken this before that'll be in this class when we go up there next spring. So I'm excited for to get that one carved in stone. Not too long of a trip, but it's kind of long. It's nine hour drive up there about, so it's not like doing it locally, but anyway. Okay, I said we'd have some gun stuff other than that. I don't know how many of you are aware that there is a brand new Glock out right now, and it is the Glock 45. No. Not that Glock 45. Everybody that has a 45 ACP and it's a Glock, it has a Glock 45. You know, they don't say, oh, it's a 21 or it's a 29 or, I mean, it's not a 29, a 30 or, you know, one of the 45 gaps or something like that, the 36. All of those are quote unquote Glock 45s. This is actually a model 45 and it has nothing to do with 45 caliber. It is a 9mm, believe it or not. Remember we talked a little bit here not too long ago about the Glock 19X. It was back when we were talking about military, all the special operations people and everybody going to Glocks and choosing the 19. And not too long after that, Glock come out with the 19X to make some modifications to it that were specifically geared towards military use. And that would have been, they got rid of the finger grooves, which is a wonderful thing. And they put a lanyard loop on it, which is a mediocre thing. And if you like them, fine. If you don't, but the 19X came out as what was considered the first, what they call a crossover pistol, kind of a half breed, a little bit of both. It was a Glock 19 barrel and slide and a Glock 17 frame. I forgot which one of the 1911s that they had as a commander, maybe, or there was one other one. I don't remember. That was similar to this. Had a full-size frame and a shorter barrel. I think it had I don't remember. I don't care either, really. So a lot of people think that they went backwards on this. They should have gone the other way and made it a 17-barrel and slide and a 19 frame. Well, as you guys know, Jason and I did that. We made hundreds of those guns over a period of almost 10 years. I started making them before Jason went to work for me. And then during the, what was it, about 7 years or so, 6 or 7 years that he worked for me, we did a whole bunch of them. So it's not new. It's just new for Glock. Glock has not done this yet. I expect that they will, because now they've opened up a whole can of worms here with this new gun. And so this is also the first ever factory colored slide. You know, they've got some of the, what do they call it, the flat dark earth and coyote tan. They've had some colored frames, but they've always had black slides. Well, this is the first factory colored slide. And it's not just a Duracoat or a paint job or whatever on it. It's actually some type of a process to get this kind of into the metal, rather like the Tenefer finish that, which was not a finish at all. It was a process that was, I don't know what the word is, cooked into the slide there about, I don't remember what it was, 4, maybe 7 microns deep. And it wasn't something that you could just rub off. You may rub off the bluing, but it didn't affect the rust preventing qualities of the gun. So Jason had one that he took all the bluing off of the slide, every ounce of it, and made it kind of a dull gunmetal gray. It wasn't a shiny silver like it would be if it was a blued steel gun. But and he kept that for, he caught out in rainstorms and washed it in the dishwasher and did everything else, and it never did rust on him. So that's kind of what they've done with this tan. It's a coyote tan. We're talking about the 19X right now. I'm kind of telling you so we can kind of show you the comparison between the two. The 19X has also the Glock Marksman barrel, the GMB barrel, they call it. Now they say, I don't know what they did to that exactly. I haven't shot one of them yet side by side with a factory barrel. They say that it has the capability of shooting more accurately. You know, standard Glock barrels shoot more accurately than the overwhelming majority of people that own the guns are capable of doing. I've put Glock, 17s, 35s, 34s in machine rests and shot 1.5-inch groups, 2-inch groups at 50 yards with them. And that's way more than accurate enough for the average person. Now, if these new barrels will do better than that, well, God bless them. I'm all for it. But the fact remains that there are not a lot of people out there of your average recreational shooters, or law enforcement or anything else. There's just not a lot of people out there that have the capability of shooting their Glock, shooting better than their Glock is capable of. Glock shoot. And that's the reason we did, and you guys have heard the story, you know, more than once. It's the reason that Jason and I became obsessed with taking Glocks out and shooting them at 200 and 300 and 500 yards and shooting them underwater and shooting and doing all this stuff with them, because we tried to point out to people that all the stuff that you hear on Facebook and in these forums and chat rooms and stuff was largely crap. Mostly BS. Would they shoot as well as a finely tuned 1911? No, they will not. Neither can very many people out there shoot to the capacity of a finely tuned 1911. As much as I don't like 1911s, I won't take away from the fact that a well-tuned 1911 with a good trigger and everything on it is a freaking tack driver. They shoot as well as virtually any service style handgun out there. I don't know that they'll outshoot one of the older Colt Pythons. They certainly won't outshoot contenders and stuff like that. But for service style guns, there's nothing out there that'll touch a well-tuned 1911. And I don't pretend that Glocks will. But Glocks will shoot a whole hell of a lot better than most people are capable of shooting. They took the finger grooves off of them, and that's a good thing. The finger grooves were okay for people with average, medium-sized hands. For people with small hands, the grooves were too far apart, and they were uncomfortable. For people with hands the size of mine, you know, I wear a size 14 ring. I've got a pretty good size meat hook. The grooves were too close to see what they were too close together for me, too far apart for the smaller hands. And so I very much disliked them. And that was one of the first things we did to all of our guns was take the finger grooves off. Of course, that was all part of the reduction that we did anyway. But they took that off, and they also gave it this RTF stippling. I hate RTF stippling. They put it on a gun here. I think it was when, which one was it? They had it. They didn't have a whole new model number, but they come out with one of that new stippling on it. And it sucks. It is way too aggressive. You know, for someone that goes out and trains and fights hard and uses it a lot, you better have some pretty tough hands when you get into it. Unless they've toned it down a little bit from what they used to do. When they first came out with that, it didn't last long. It was only out for, I don't know, maybe a year or so. And they abandoned it because it was too aggressive. Now, they did this for the military. Okay, I kind of get it. It is certainly something that's easier to hold on to. And usually the military is not going to be shooting 1,000 rounds a weekend through theirs, you know, most of them. So it's probably not ever going to be noticeable to them. It is noticeable to us that shoot, you know, 10, 20, 30,000 rounds a year. Let me see what AZ Bound just said. Picked up a Glock 26, never cared what was what, and never looked back. I wish I had more meat on my bones to conceal. Well, you know, AZ Bound, stick around. We'll talk about that in a little bit, about concealing the G17. Stand by. We'll be with that in a minute. As I said, the 19X has the lanyard loop. It has its place. I'm not a big fan with it. It come with one 17-round magazine and two 17-plus-2s. The 17-plus-2s, of course, had the plus-2 inserts on the base, you know, instead of the base plate there. Gave it 19 rounds. Nothing new about that either. I mean, we've had those Pierce and who's the other company? I forgot. There's two or three companies that have made these extensions to have higher capacity magazines. Not a bad idea. Most of them can be used with or intended to be used, actually, with the stock magazine in it. And, I mean, stock spring in it. And that's fine. They worked fine. It does mean that as the spring starts to decrease in its power, which they do with repetitions, not with being loaded, not with being stored loaded, magazine springs get weak with repetitions, just like any other spring. So eventually, if you shoot it enough, you will start noticing that. So your magazines with the extended base plate with the insert on it, the extension, will probably start having a malfunction before the same magazine would if you did not put that extension on it. Does that make sense to you? It's already about at its limit. I don't know. Glocks are pretty oversprung anyway, so that may not be entirely true. you'd have to put two of them side by side and shoot the hell out of them for a long, long time to figure that out. We've done, I've got one of my guys here that has had a extension on his ever since he bought the gun. So far has had no problem. No, he hasn't either. That's a lie. He shoots a 23 and he has, keeps a 22 magazine in it. That's not the same thing. So let's see, what Yakima Glocks there? Yeah, well, Yakima Glock, that's okay. I'll tell you what. I'm gonna tell y'all something about Yakima Glock, and I've told you before, long, long time ago. I went up first, I think it was the first class I did in Idaho or in Washington. And Yakima Glock is a big old boy. And I love him to death. He's my brother. He's a good guy. But he's a big old boy. And I had reservations on how well he was going to do in that class. But I'm going to tell you what. He is determined. And he is, he was just bound to get her done. And I'll tell you what, he got her done. There was a couple of times he had to set out, rest a little bit, you know, because it was hot as hell. We were out there all day long, long night shoot and everything else. It was a long time for somebody that doesn't go out, or anybody, I don't care whether you're big or not, to spend that much time standing with periodic breaks and with the moving and the learning and all the stuff that was going on. And I'll tell you, there are few people with the determination that Yakima Glock exhibited when I did that class. He did really, really well and didn't slack on anything, did the same thing everybody else did. And I was proud to have to been there and helped him through that. It was great, a lot of fun. And I'll tell you something else, not about Yakima Glock, but about a couple of other people. Much smaller, slimmer. We've had some that didn't finish the class. They had one in Colorado. And so that tells me a lot right there about determination and combat mindset. So let's move on here with the Glock 19X has a ambidextrous slide stop. I am not a fan remotely of ambidextrous slide stop. I think that the Glock is already the most left-hander friendly right-handed gun in the world with no other controls, you know, the magazine. I have personally, you know, the one time I went out to Front Sight and took a four-day class with a night shoot, and when I left Farmington, New Mexico, on a Wednesday, I was determined not to touch my gun again with the right hand, with my normal firing hand, until I got back, unless we were doing some, you know, support hand drills or whatever. So I did. I put on a left-handed holster, right-handed magazine carrier, and did a few, a little bit of dry practice, a few presentations there just so I wouldn't forget where it was at when I was driving out there and stopped somewhere. And I got out there and did the whole class and wound up doing what they call a distinguished graduate. You know, it's when you graduate in the, I don't know what it is, the top 10% or 5% or whatever it is. And I did that left-handed. I'm not a left-hander. So I am absolutely convinced that if you're a left-hander and are more, what's the word, dexterous, dexterous, or you got your poop in a group better with the left hand, that you could do at least as well or better than I did. So I'm not all about trying to turn these Glocks into left-handed guns. This is a right-hander's world, whether you like it or not. There's only a small percentage of people out there that are left-handed. And I think that those people need to learn to operate, especially in the gun world, learn to operate the whatever weapon they're going to shoot equally as well with both hands. The reason being, if you pick up someone else's gun, somebody goes down, and no, I'm not looking. Ambidextrous is not the word I'm looking for in M Glock. That's we've already used that word. If your gun goes down, you know, whatever happens, it runs out of ammo or breaks or you drop it off a cliff or something happens and you have to pick up somebody else's gun, I don't think that you should be so used to running a custom left-handed gun that you can't figure out how to run somebody else's. Now, in the recreational world, that's not a concern. In the hunting world, that's not a concern. In the real world, on the street, that is a concern, at least for me. So, the 19X was also a hybrid Gen 4 and Gen 5. It had some Gen 5 features, had some Gen 4 features. I don't believe that it had the inserts that you put on the grip to make it larger or smaller. The new G45 does, but I don't think the 19X did. The G45 also had, and I'm not sure why they did this, but it has a little lip right at the bottom, in the bottom front of the magazine well. And I'm not 100% sure why they put that there. But it's similar to the one, there's one just like it on the Glock 26 and 27 and 33 and 39. But I don't know why it's there exactly. I can kind of see it, I guess, in the smaller frames because it gets you it extends the front of the frame just a little bit of the grip, just a little bit down. And I suppose it feels different. Of course, you know, when we reduce those frames. Originally, we used to get rid of those, and then we stopped doing that and modified our processor a little bit and left that on. But with that lip on there like that, it will not take, or at least the 19X won't, it won't take standard 19 magazines. You have to be of special magazines to fit. It would take longer magazines if you want to put Glock 17 magazines in it, or the 30-round magazines, or something like that it would take. But it would not take the standard 19 magazines. So that is definitely a downside for me. Easy enough to take a Dremel tool and chop that little lip off of there, and that would be desirable more than modifying your magazine, because then you have to modify every single magazine that you come across, which is not necessarily a good idea. In the military, that's okay because everybody else's magazines are the same. Out on the street, it is not okay. So, there was a few guns out there. I think the Gen 4s, not the 26 and 27, but your 19, 17, all the rest of them, Gen 4, as some of the older ones, off and on, had a cutout in the front of the grip at the bottom that was about like a little half moon cutout, about the size of a half of a dime or a little bit bigger. I never did like that at all. It didn't bother me too bad. I just didn't care for it. I kind of took advantage of it with a couple of my guns and cut that out and beveled it a little bit more and made kind of a little bit of a magazine funnel for it. I didn't do it on too many of them. I didn't like it that much. So now that brings you up to speed on exactly what the 19X is. Now then, it's time to take a short break. So stay with me and we'll be back here in a minute. Wait a minute, maybe we'll be back right now. There it is. There we go. Okay. I'll be back. That's what I like to see, bullseyes, every time. And you can do the same thing with Byers Barrels. As long as you do your part, the custom barrels that you get from Byers Barrels will deliver award-winning accuracy shot after shot. Byers Barrels specializes in standard and 1-in-9-inch twist match-grade 22 long rifle barrels for the Ruger 10/22 and AR-15. If you want to win, visit their site at ByersBarrels.com. That's BeyerBarrels.com. Or you can call Clint at 360-374-9476 and tell him you heard it on the Shooting Fence, would you? Let him know that his advertising money is doing him some good. Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. Okay, we're back. Let me pull something over here so it'll be prepared. There we go. All right. Let's talk about the similarities and why we have a Glock Model 45 now. It is the second crossover gun. Now, Glock said that they would never, there was a lot of people wanted to have the 19X in black. Law enforcement really liked this gun. Why, you ask? Well, obviously, it's with that higher capacity and a shorter barrel, it's a great close contact gun or confined quarters where you're, you know, in a vehicle, in a phone booth, you know, whatever. Do they have phone booths anymore? But when you're in a confined environment like that, that short barrel is desirable. So the short barrel and high capacity makes it a great field gun, a great duty gun, a great combat, you know, a great gun to carry into combat. But law enforcement wanted it black. You know, some of them liked the brown ones, but the majority of them wanted black guns so it didn't look so goofy with their safari land gear or whatever they've got. So, since Glock said they would never do that, then they couldn't come out with the 19X that was black now, could they? Well, easy way to solve that. We'll keep our promise. We'll just call it a Glock 45. And you guys know the reason it's the 45 is because that's their 45th international patent. The Glock 17 wasn't a 17 because it was a 17-round gun. It was their 17th international patent. His, not their. Prior to that, there were, you know, curtain rods and you know, several things that he did, machine gun belts. There's several things that he did for the military and, you know, for civilians as well. And his claim to fame was the fusion, the bonding of, space age polymers and steel, which is where the Glock really shines. So the Glock 45 is their 45th patent. It also has that RTF stippling, same thing, same as the 19X. It does have the it took the finger grooves off, same as the 19X. It has something different. It also has the, I think I already said that, the grooves, the inserts in the back for the grip. I already told you that. It also has what we used to put on Glocks back all the way back to, when did I start that? Probably 2004, maybe 2005. Started putting the forward cocking grooves on there, the chamber check grooves, press check grooves, whatever you want to call them. We were one of the first to start doing that, and we were the very first to do it at a 7-degree angle, which, when the way we teach the press check and everything, worked. It's not that critical, but it was kind of a trademark thing for us, you know. And oddly enough, if you look around, there's others that have adopted that angle since we did that. But we have a great deal of documentation to prove that we were the first ones to do that. And I like the cocking grooves. If that's one of those things, if you don't need them, don't use them, fine. Don't worry about them. They're not hurting anything. But if you need them, you need them. And we did it because the Tennifer finish and the bluing or the parkerization or whatever they put over that is pretty slippery. And if you have any, you know, sweat, sunscreen, blood, any type of just water, anything on your hands, it becomes a little bit difficult to press check that gun without using the rear cocking serrations. So the grooves that we put in it made that really, really simple, really fast, really positive, you know, effective. So all of my guns have it in there. And they took the finger grooves out, ambidextrous slide release, same thing. Another thing that I don't like, it also has that Glock Marksman barrel in it. I told you they took the cutout out of the front of the frame. And the G45 is a pure fifth generation gun. It's not a hybrid like the 19X was. So if you look at all these things here, what in the world justifies, other than the fact that they said they would never make the Glock 19X in black, this is nothing but a Glock 19X that is black with forward cocking serrations on it. That's really the only difference, and the little lip on the bottom of the magazine well.
that does not, in my mind, justify a whole new model designation. What it should have been was the Glock 19Y or the Glock 19Z or the Glock 19Q or the Glock 19L or whatever, not an L, but something besides a whole new designation here. But they elected to do that. Now, another thing this Glock 45 has, the Model 45, has orange followers on the magazines. The follower is the little thing, the little plastic or metal in many guns. The thing that pushes the rounds up. You don't just set your rounds in the magazine right on top of the spring. You have a little saddle there that pushes the rounds up and keeps them aligned properly and everything. And in the Glock 45, they are orange. I understand why they do it, and I get it completely, and it's for to look down there very quickly and be able to tell that the gun is empty. If the gun's laying down with the slide open, it's very quick to tell that the magazine is empty. Yakima Glock, they could just easy called it the Generation 5 19X. I understand why they did, and I understand the 19X is it belongs to the military. That's their thing. The rights to it don't belong to the military, but you know what I mean. As far as Glock is concerned, that's their military designation. But they could have come up with something other than making it a Glock 45. Stand by just a second here. Yeah, sorry about that. All right, let's get back to it here. So let's look now at the pros. Oh, I'll tell you why I don't like the orange followers. I'm not sure. I have never seen orange followers in a Glock. This is something new, but I can see that this could be a little bit of a problem in a low light environment. If you don't check your gun with the tip of your finger, as we teach in a low light environment, and you just kind of look in there, you may actually see the orange color in there in a low light environment and think that it's brass and think that it may be around. You may think that your gun is loaded when it's not. Now, of course, everybody's going to say, well, if it wasn't loaded, the slide would have locked back, and, well, maybe it will, maybe it won't. It doesn't happen all the time. Every single class, no matter what kind of gun it is, there's always one gun or another or a couple or a few where the slide doesn't lock back properly. It could be because of a very, very minor malfunction. It could be because the magazine is damaged a little bit, or maybe it's just wore out and it's not catching them. Maybe it wasn't quite locked in place all the way and it allowed you to fire one round but didn't lock back on the empty magazine. So whatever the reason is, if the slide was closed and the empty magazine is in there, I see how that could be, however small a problem it could be, I can still see it being a little bit of a problem. So it's not insurmountable. I can just take those, if I don't like them, I can take those followers out and put standard followers in there. It's not a big deal. It's not worth any more discussion about it. So here's the deal. The gun is a 17 frame and a 19 slide, and a lot of people think they should have gone the other way and made a 19L, so to speak, have a 17 slide and barrel and a 19 frame. Alright? We did lots of those, and I'm not sure if we were the very first or not, but we were among the first to have chopped 17s or chopped 19s. We take 19s and 23s and chop them down to 26 and 27 size, or we take 17s, even 34s and 35s, and chop them down to 19 or 23 grips. Did lots and lots and lots of those. I still have one, actually. I have a 22 still that was chopped to a 23 frame. And the benefit of this, now AZ Bound, I'm talking to you. I'm going to check my deal here and see if you're still here. Oh, it looks like you ducked out for a minute, but you're back. Okay. One of the things that, when you said you'd like to have enough meat on your bones to conceal a 17. Well, the only thing that keeps you from concealing a 17 is it has a longer grip. So we chop that down to a 19. Voila, there you are. It's the same as concealing a 19. The barrel is not what needs to be concealed. If you're wearing an inside-the-pants holster or wearing a jacket or something over it, the barrel can be a foot and a half long and not really affect anything except a very slow and awkward presentation. So the grip is what shows up when you bend over a little bit, you turn a certain way, the grip is what shows through the jacket, through the concealment garment, whatever it is that you're wearing. So if you want the balance and the radius, the sight radius and the velocity of that full-length barrel, then we can chop the grip. And it's not that hard to do. You can do it, but I'm going to tell you, you can't put that stuff back. Go very slowly, very carefully. Do it intentionally, make it a little bit long before you do it. And make sure you get the angle right for the magazines. Check it, recheck it, check it again, and recheck it two more times. Because if you go too much, you're going to be very disappointed. And there's nothing you can do about it. So, yeah, well, you, there is something you can do about it. You can go ahead and chop it further down to a 26. If you do that and screw it up, then you'll really be screwed. So, I've got several pictures of those guns that that we did. We did a lot of 23s and 19s chopped down to 26 and 27. That is an awesome little concealed carry gun. If you want the extra capacity, then simply drop a 19 magazine in it or a 22 magazine in it, and you have the full size gun again. It's a great way to go, and in a poop hit the fan situation, it might even be a desirable way to go, because if you happen to come across some 19 magazines, and yours are about gone or yours are about wore out or something. By the way, don't throw your wore out magazine springs away. If you have a 17, don't throw your springs away when they're wore out. Save them, mark them, cut them down to fit your 19. Don't cut them the full length. I mean, don't cut them as short as your 19 magazine. You might cut about halfway between 17 and 19. You might lose one round capacity, but they'll work for quite a while before you have to abandon them. Anyway, the either of the chopped versions are both great concealed carry guns. The chopped 23 or the chopped 19, it just doesn't get any better than that. I keep thinking all the time I'd like to chop another one of mine. I don't have a 23 or a 19 chopped to that, but I keep wanting to do that again, because it is such a great concealed carry asset there. But people they spend too much time complaining about saying that you can't conceal a full size. Yes, you can, by the way. You sure can. Matter of fact, I've told the story before. Tom Gibbons, out at a place called Rangemaster out in Memphis, Tennessee, very well-known, pretty, like, world-renowned instructor and facility out there. He is carrying one of my custom Glock 35s, and he wears it every day in an inside-the-pants holster. It's not the barrel that's concealed. It is the barrel that has a problem with the concealment. It is the grip. Hey, Gunpack and Plumber, I saw you in there a while ago. I'm glad you made it in tonight. I know you tried a couple of times and had some trouble. I'm glad you made it tonight. So, anyway, that's my two cents worth on the two different guns there. I think Glock kind of I think they didn't want to admit. I know how Gaston Glock is. He's pretty much anti-American. It needs to be his idea or it's not a good idea. And I wish they would have just said, I don't know if I wish it would have makes that much difference, but instead of making a Glock 45, the Glock 45 should have been a, you know, something else in the 45 ACP world or the 45 gap world or something. I don't know, maybe a single stack G20, I don't know, that would be a 36. Maybe a single stack 21 or something, I don't know, and called it a G25. But the very minor differences between the 19X and the G45 to me didn't justify the name change.
Or the model change. All right, well, we had several other things we want to talk about, but those things will still be here when we come back Wednesday. Amy is still tossing the idea around of doing a show like she did before. She's not sure. One thing's pretty sure, it will probably be on a Monday if it happens at all. And it will probably be, almost certainly be, immediately preceding my show. And I haven't looked at the schedule. I'm not sure if anybody else is doing anything on Mondays or not. I don't think so. But whether it's a half hour, an hour, or whatever, we'll see if we can get her back for a little bit of air time here. She's thinking about it pretty serious. So through the other obligations, it will definitely not be on Wednesdays. And it could be, as far as I'm concerned, I wouldn't have a problem with it being on a Friday prior to Liberty Lounge. It just means that I need to be at the controls here for 3 hours, but I've done it 4 before, so it's not that big a deal. So anyway, we'll let you know when she makes up her mind what's going to happen exactly. And I imagine she'll know this week. She's been thinking about it pretty hard. So, all right. Well, that's all I can do for you today. So I'm going to sneak on out of here. And we'll see you back Wednesday. We've got some more gun stuff we need to cover and quite a few news items we need to get out that we kind of wanted to do tonight and didn't get around to it. So let's see. Which button do I push? Let's push that one right there and see what happens.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.